First, I want to start out by saying I'm thankful for the opportunity to come up here and speak. It gives me an opportunity to grow and mature in Christ. And I appreciate that opportunity, and I hope I'm able to present God's Word in its simplicity and clarity, and I hope many will follow along and hopefully verify what I say through Scripture. We're going to be taking most of our lesson from Ecclesiastes this afternoon, but before we get into that, I want to read a verse from Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And I want the objective of this lesson tonight to be to give us guidance on how to spend our short time on this earth. Our life is but a vapor, and we're instructed to make the best of the time and to live wisely. We can spend our time doing many things in this world and occupying ourselves with many different endeavors. We could use it to gain knowledge in this world. We could pleasure ourselves with the so-called joys of the world. We can toil in this world and try to accumulate wealth or honor. And we're going to be looking at all of these different things tonight, and they're all taken from Ecclesiastes. And in looking at how we should spend our time and make this time on earth worthwhile and make sure that we're spending it wisely, I'm going to take the approach of looking at what is vain and what we shouldn't be spending our time doing and offer a few alternatives to that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, Solomon begins by saying, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And we're going to look through at all the different vanities that Solomon mentions throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. The first vanity he mentions is the vanity of wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, it says, "And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind." And in verse 18 it says, "For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." And let's focus on that term under the sun. Or under heaven, the things on this earth are the things that are mentioned as vain. The wisdom under the sun. And we're going to contrast that later with what's not under the sun and what's above the earth, and that's which is heaven, of course. The wisdom of the things on earth does us little good. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, we can see that elaborated on. "For of the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten, how the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and is striving after wind." So our end is going to be the same. Whether wise or foolish, we will all meet the same end and return to dust. And in Ecclesiastes, but I do want to point out in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city." So how can wisdom be in vain, but also be described as something that's good? Well, we can look further in Ecclesiastes, and I think we can get a good answer to that. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 13, it says, "I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So Solomon points out an example of wisdom. It was beneficial to the people of that city. It helped the people. It was a good thing, but the vanity is in the fact that the wise man was not remembered. He was forgotten and died just like everyone else. And that's the vanity of wisdom, and especially the wisdom of this world. We may be able to use it on this earth, but it doesn't get us any farther than that. And so now I want to focus on that wisdom of the world and the vanity and wisdom of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can turn over there quickly. Actually, I want to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" So the wisdom of this world is made foolish by God. It's not something that we need to busy ourselves with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we can see that is taken further. It says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile.' So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ and Christ is God's." So we shouldn't deceive ourselves with taking our time and using it to busy ourselves with the wisdom of the world. It won't do us any good. And if we shouldn't busy ourselves with the wisdom of the world, what should we use our time for? And so now I want to alter our alternative to the vain wisdom, which is the wisdom of the world, and how should we counter that vanity and use our short time on this earth for good? And I think the Bible makes it clear that there's a type of wisdom that is good that we need to have. And we can see that first, and I want to look at a passage in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 say, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." So that's the wisdom that we should be focusing on. There's a lot of things in the world that we can become wise in, academics, intellectual thought. There's wisdom out there for getting ahead in this world, but it says that selfish ambition, the wisdom that is the goal is for just this earth, is not what we want to spend our time with. It's the wisdom that's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, merciful, sincere. And we should try to apply that to our lives and spend less time on the wisdom of the world and use our time on this earth to become wise in heavenly things. Solomon also mentions the vanity of pleasure. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, that whole passage describes all the pleasures that Solomon had for himself. He had houses, many houses, vineyards, many wives. He took pleasure in all his children, the many children he had, his gardens, all the great works that he built. We know that Solomon was a rich king, and he had any pleasure he wanted at his disposal. And what can we see is his conclusion after busying himself with all those pleasures. In verse 11 of chapter 2, he says, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun." So that vanity of pleasure is something that Solomon realized after he spent all his time on this earth going after those pleasures of the world. And it's a striving after wind. It's something you can't catch. If you try to continue after the pleasures of this world, you'll never catch it. You'll never be satisfied with the things in this world. Out of all those things Solomon had to indulge in, he found it vain. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, is a short proverb about the pleasures of this world. It says, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." We may be physically or literally rich in the pleasures, but you won't be rich in the sense that you can never take full pleasure in it. It will never completely satisfy. And we can also look at an example of Jesus' parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. He speaks about the seed that fell among the thorns. And he says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." If we're tied down by the pleasures of the world, it'll choke out godliness. We can't grow in Christ when we're attached to the pleasures of the world. And it will bring us down in... It's a vanity to try to strive after both at the same time. So, what's an alternative to pleasing ourselves and striving after the pleasures in this world for ourselves? Well, I offer that an alternative thought to that is to try to serve others and focus on others rather than in pleasing ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 say, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." And you can see a clear contrast to the pleasures of this world in that verse. That we should be focusing on being stewards of what God's given us and using those things to serve others without grumbling and without a focus on ourselves. And we should use that in service to God as well, and to glorify Him. And that's the polar opposite of pleasing ourselves, and it is not vain. It's godly, and it will benefit us in the life to come rather than passing away like the pleasures of this world. In James chapter 1, we also see what James defines as true worship to God. And it says, beginning in verse 26, of chapter 1, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So rather than focusing on ourselves, the example there is given to visit widows and orphans, those who are less fortunate. We should serve others and stay unstained from the world rather than being caught up in the pleasures of this world and being stained by them. A good example of this attitude is Paul in Acts chapter 20, verses 33 through 35. We can see his unselfish attitude. And he says, I coveted no one's silver or gold apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's not a vain thing to help others, to minister to others. We should counter that. There should be a counter thought to the pleasures of this world and pleasing ourselves. And we can go on and on about this. In Galatians chapter 5, we can continue those thoughts. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14 say, For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But focus on, it says, we should not use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but to love and serve one another. The pleasures of this world are opportunities for the flesh. And we should use the freedoms of the new law to serve one another and not focus on the pleasures of this world. The early Christians, we can see a good example of that as well. In Acts 2, at the end of the chapter, in 42 through 45, it says, And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So that's a very good example. They were selling their things and giving and distributing the proceeds to the needy. They were serving others. If they were focused on the pleasures of this world, they would be holding on to those possessions and using them to please themselves rather than to serve others. And so we should focus on serving others rather than pleasing ourselves. The next vanity in Ecclesiastes that Solomon mentions is the vanity of toiling. Vanity of toiling on this earth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 through 19, he says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be a master of all which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So, as much work and as much effort as we put into labor on this earth, it's not going to come with us after we die. We can't take it with us. It's going to be left with someone else, and who knows what will happen to it after that. We have no control over it, and it's vanity to put our efforts into toiling on this earth. And we certainly can't take it when we leave this earth. So, instead of toiling on this earth, we should toil in the kingdom of God. So in contrast to what is under the sun, we should toil in the kingdom of God, which is in heaven. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verses 27 through 29, it says, Jesus says, Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. And they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So we should labor for what matters, not for food or the pleasures of this world or for possessions on this world. We shouldn't worry about our physical jobs as much as we should worry about the labor of the kingdom. And they asked Jesus, what is the work of God? And it says, to believe in him who he has sent. And now that seems simple, but it carries with it a lot of implications. We understand from this that if we believe that Christ is the Son of God, that we'll obey, and it will affect how we live our lives, and it has a bearing on everything that we do, and it will affect how we toil in the kingdom, and it affects us in that way, that we would labor for the things above rather than the toiling under the sun. In Matthew 9, verses 35 to 37, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for all of them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" So just like then, today there is work to be done. The harvest is plentiful. If we work in the kingdom, we can reap the fruit. And that toil is worth something. It's not vain. It's not worthless. It will mean something after this life is over. And in our toiling on this earth, we shouldn't have the attitude of worrying about our physical needs. In chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And in verse 34 it says, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So we shouldn't worry about toiling under the sun on this earth for our physical needs. If we trust in the Lord, He will provide. If we do trust, and we should rather toil in the kingdom and keep our minds set on what is above. And along those same lines of the toil, the vanity of wealth and honor, Solomon mentions in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, he says in verse 10 through 12, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep." In verse 15 it says, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." So again, the theme here is that the toiling under the sun on this earth is not going to get us anything. The wealth we will not be able to take with us. We can't take it after we pass away from this earth, and we won't be satisfied with it when we have it here. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So right there it specifically states to keep our lives free of the love of money, that we shouldn't love money. And we, as we all know, in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It's not a good thing to strive after. And not only will we not be satisfied with it, but it can lead to all kinds of trouble if we strive after money and wealth on this earth. So what kind of attitude should we have toward wealth and possessions? Well, we have a pretty good example of what Jesus instructed in Luke chapter 12. We have Jesus and the rich young ruler. In chapter 12, verses 33 and 34, he said, that's not the rich young ruler, but he says, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he tells them to sell your possessions and give to the needy. And we have a lot of things in this country and a lot of possessions. And all of us, along with myself, sometimes we need to actually take stock of what we have and think about what we really need. And because we have a lot of commodities that are well beyond our necessities, and we can often use those to help others. And that can be an application that we can think about, and I as well. Along with that, the theme of the treasure of heaven, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24 say, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can," in verse 24, "no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." If you're at the veterans' home this afternoon, you heard something pretty similar. But we shouldn't be focusing on materialism and the things of this world. They're vain. They will pass away. And if they don't pass away while we're on this earth, we certainly can't take them where we're going. And it's a vain endeavor to strive after these things. And rather, we should strive after the treasure of heaven. And that is treasure that cannot be stolen. It will not be corrupted if we maintain it and keep storing treasure in heaven. We can take that treasure with us and where we're going after we pass away. In conclusion, we've spent a lot of time about talking about vanity and vanity under the sun. And I think we can come to the conclusion after reading through Ecclesiastes that the things of this world are vain, and that we should not spend our time on this earth striving after those things. It won't do us any good. It won't even give us a lot of worldly pleasure. It will pass away in that sense as well. Not only can we not take it with us after our life on earth is done, but it doesn't do a lot of good on this earth either, and when all is said and done. And rather, we should invest in heavenly treasure, and we should focus on what is above the sun, or what is in heaven. And quickly read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And that's what our focus should be on in spending our time on this earth. It should be focusing on what's above and the glory of God. Rather than the vanity of the wisdom on this earth, we should focus on the wisdom of above, of heaven. Instead of focusing on the pleasures of this world and trying to busy ourselves with that, we should use our efforts and our time to serve others. Rather than toiling on this earth and striving after wealth of this earth, we should toil in the kingdom and accumulate heavenly treasure. And I want to just conclude by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. And this is how Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, ends his book in the conclusion. And he says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." So after concluding, or after going through all these vanities and describing this striving after win, at the end Solomon says the end of the matter is that we should serve God and keep His commandments, and that's the duty of man. And we should take that to heart. So at this time, we want to offer the invitation to you this evening. If maybe you haven't been focusing on the things above and you've been toiling on this earth or the striving after the vanities of this world, if you need the prayers of the congregation for anything and need to repent, you can come forward at this time. If not, that, if you're not a Christian and you would like to become one and start your walk with Christ, then you can do so at this time as well, as together we stand and sing.